Welcome to Journal Club for October 14th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Diggs. Okay, so this almost never happens. 99% of the time on Journal Club, the papers we're covering are advancements in computer science. That's our bread and butter. But once in a blue moon, an article comes out that is the complete opposite. An article that says, in effect, hey everyone, when it comes to this one particular technology, we have all gotten out over our skis. We as an industry are making claims that a technology is capable of something it's not actually capable of. These kinds of articles are rare, but I think they contribute just as much to our understanding of the state of the industry as other articles do. So it's in that spirit that I bring you today's paper. Computer-assisted analysis of routine EEG to identify hidden biomarkers of epilepsy, a systematic review. I know that seems like an innocuous and uncontroversial title, but trust me, this is the academic equivalent of challenging someone to a boxing match. This paper is, for lack of a better word, an indictment of many of the other papers in this field. These authors bring charges of sloppy statistical techniques, biased patient selection, machine learning models that have data leakage, and holistic failures around study methodology. Them's fighting words. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to disagree respectfully. In the red corner, we have a team of researchers, Lemoine et al. And in the blue corner, we have the 37 other studies on epilepsy and EEGs that these authors are taking serious issue with. Before we watch the fight, we need to get a firm understanding of what they're fighting about. This whole thing is about the diagnosis of epilepsy, specifically the use of EEG to diagnose epilepsy, and even more specifically, the use of computers to analyze EEG data to diagnose epilepsy. So naturally, you might be wondering, what is epilepsy exactly? Epilepsy is a neurological disorder that manifests itself as abnormal electrical activity in the brain. This activity can cause a seizure. If it only happens once in your life or is reasonably mild, it will probably not be considered epilepsy. If the seizure is stronger or recurrent, it's more likely to lead to a diagnosis. Epilepsy can develop at any age and is way more common than you probably think it is. It affects around 1% of the general population. So just in the US, it affects around 3 million people. And importantly for this paper, epilepsy is misdiagnosed 20% of the time. That's huge. And both kinds of misdiagnosis occur, false positives, which can be devastating, and false negatives, which can be dangerous. For a number of reasons, diagnosis is hard, and this is an open, unsolved problem in medicine. This sets the stage for why there is so much research out there trying to find technological solutions to raise that accuracy. Many of the studies that pursue this research question apply machine learning models to EEG data. EEG is a technique used to record the electrical activity of the brain. They do this by placing electrodes on your scalp, oftentimes using what looks like a hairnet full of little nodes. Those nodes monitor voltage fluctuations wherever they're attached to your scalp. The fluctuating voltage is used as a heuristic to estimate the neural activity happening in the area under the node. Interictal epileptiform discharges, or IEDs, are abnormal electrical patterns that are seen in patients with epilepsy, often between seizures. The IEDs appear on the EEGs and have a distinctive shape. So in a perfect world, if you had a seizure, you'd go to the hospital, put on an EEG, they'd look for IEDs, and if they found them, you could potentially be diagnosed with epilepsy. To be clear, that exact flow does happen sometimes, just not enough. The issue with IEDs is that they're not reliably present, and even when present, they're difficult to find. After a first seizure, there's only about a 17% chance that your team will be able to find IEDs in your EEG. So a ton of research has been focused on trying to find alternative biomarkers for epilepsy. In other words, researchers have been conducting studies that try to identify something, anything other than IEDs so that they can diagnose epilepsy from an EEG more reliably and ideally automatically. Accordingly, many of these studies use software to analyze the EEG data to detect patterns and identify reliable biomarkers. Those kinds of studies are what today's whole fight is about. The authors of this paper, the 2024 article, found 37 other previous research papers from the past few decades. Each of these papers attempted to analyze EEG data in order to surface alternative biomarkers for epilepsy. Each of the 37 studies were structured in a similar way. They all had two main phases. In the first phase, the authors would extract computational biomarkers from the EEG data. These could be broadly characterized as either linear, nonlinear, connectivity, or deep learning. And in the second phase, the authors would train either a machine learning or a deep learning model to associate the biomarkers with epilepsy. The authors in these studies used a panoply of algorithms, too many to list here, but they're all in the PDF if you want to see them. The high-level view is that they used a lot of support vector machine, gradient boosting, decision trees, and random forest. For model validation, many of the studies used K-folds cross-validation. We're going to come back to that because it's one of those things that the authors of this study took issue with. But at any rate, the authors of the previous studies would generally draw their conclusions from area under the curve and other common metrics. The authors of this 2024 study used a multi-step approach to evaluate those 37 other studies. Here are the steps they took. 1. They tried to reproduce the results. Since nearly every study included model training, they wouldn't be able to reproduce unless they knew the feature extraction methods, the feature selection methods, the hyperparameter tuning decisions, the EEG segmentation rules, the model evaluation techniques, and the policies around handling artifacts in the data. If any custom code had been written as part of those previous studies, they'd either need access to it or would need a thorough description of it. And ideally, they'd need publicly available datasets. Based on these requirements, the authors in the 2024 study found that only 16% of the other studies were actually reproducible in good faith. 2. They looked for data leakage in the machine learning models. In other words, they looked for model training procedures that likely accidentally shared data from the testing set with the training set. When this occurs, the inference that the model gives during testing displays a higher level of performance and accuracy than it really should because the model was accidentally trained on some of the information that is now being tested on. They found data leakage in 78% of the studies. Coming back to K-folds cross-validation, this technique does not automatically equal data leakage, but if it's done incorrectly, it might. That incorrect usage of K-folds was largely the case with many of these studies. 3. They used the QUADAS, that's QUADAS2, framework to evaluate the study structure for risk of bias. This meant having blind reviewers evaluate patient selection, index test, reference standard, and flow or timing. As it turned out, and this is wild to me, every single study had a high risk of bias in their patient selection methods. Additionally, many of them had glaringly problematic study design. For example, several studies chose the control and the variable groups from entirely different populations, so like an in-hospital group versus a healthy group, which led to spectrum effects. In other instances, the authors of the 37 studies were found to have used different EEG settings on the control group versus the variable group. 4. They reviewed the statistical analysis employed in each paper, looking not only at the soundness of their approach, but the disclosed level of sensitivity, confidence, and margins of error in their analysis. They found that 92% of the studies failed to label their statistical precision. Additionally, a significant number of studies ranked very poorly on the GRADE scale, that's G-R-A-D-E, which measures the quality of the evidence and the strength of the recommendations. After all of this analysis, the 2024 author's conclusion was fair but firm. Quote, "After 2 decades of research, the current literature provides insufficient evidence to assess the utility of computational analysis of routine EEG to diagnose epilepsy," end quote. And to translate that from academic speak to regular person speak, I'd say that roughly translates to, Your studies are trash. What is wrong with you people? Get your act together. So, what can we take away from this? Well, the age-old adage continues to ring true. There are lies, damned lies, and statistics. If you are pushing for a certain outcome, and either unwilling to use your tools properly, or unaware of their proper use, you can get your stats to say pretty much anything. But when you're dealing with something as important as medical diagnosis, you should hold yourself, your study, your software, and your research to the highest possible bar. Also, we as a community should probably have a frank discussion with ourselves about how so many studies like this can make it past peer review. Just saying. The sad part about this is that the conclusions that those other authors drew, the biomarkers they found, the correlations that they thought they saw, that all might have been correct. Those authors might have stumbled on biomarkers that really could be used as meaningful diagnostic tools. But those studies surfaced those markers the wrong way, or in the sloppy way, or in the incomplete way, or in the unreproducible way. So now, all their work, all their analysis, and all their conclusions are stained. Sure seems like a waste to me. But who knows? In the coming months, maybe some of these authors will fire back. Or maybe they'll publish responses to this paper, refuting it point by point. If they do, we'll certainly try to cover it here on Journal Club. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.